Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is the 8th podcast I have recorded. I am recording it in August of 2008 for posting at the website in September of 2008. The title is The Coming Revolution in Investing Advice. The title comes from a comment made by Rob Arnott. Rob Arnott is one of the smartest people in the investing advice field today. And aside from being smart, there are a lot of smart people in the field. The thing I really like about Rob Arnott is that he is a straight shooter. He says things as he sees them. He doesn't talk in a lot of gobbledygook, which is a real problem in the field. So I'm a big fan of Rob Arnott. And Rob Arnott has written a number of columns in the editorial corner of the Financial Analyst Journal, in which he's given his views on various subjects. And in one of those columns, he said, "We are going to see in days to come a quote-unquote revolution in our understanding of how stock investing works." And I think that's precisely right. You know, Rob Arnott's reasons for believing that, I'm sure, are very different than mine. He has a very different background. But my background is posting on discussion boards about investing issues. And what I have seen is that you learn things posting on discussion boards that you can't learn in any other way. What you learn, it's not talking with other experts about theories. It's seeing how the average investor applies those theories and what the average investor thinks about those theories. And what you see on investing boards is very troubling, because what you see is that people's understanding of stock investing is not what it should be, which means that the theories have failed. I'm not one of these people who believe that, you know, if you come up with a theory and the millions of people who are supposed to make use of the theory can't make good use of it, you know, you blame the millions of people. No. If the theory doesn't work for the millions of people, there's something wrong with the theory. Either the theory doesn't make sense, or you haven't explained it properly, or you need to simplify, or something. But when as many people who I have seen come to discussion boards with ideas about investing that are as confused as some of the ideas I have seen, there's a problem. There's a problem with the dominant theory of the day. And so that's one of the reasons why I believe Rob Arnott is right, that we have a revolution in investing advice coming up ahead. And, you know, of course, I've seen things other than that. I mean, I've seen people are scared. People today, most people today, of course, buy into the passive investing model. That's the dominant investing model of today. And, of course, when Arnott says we're going to see a revolution, what he's saying is we're going to see a replacement of the dominant model of today, a replacement of the efficient market theory / passive investing model with something new and with something better and with something more realistic and with something more workable. But most people today go along with the passive investing model because that's what most of the experts tell them, and most middle-class investors don't have the time to research these questions on their own to any great extent. So they feel that they have no choice but generally to go along with what they've heard. And but they don't have confidence in it. They don't have confidence in it. And of course, again, the problem is with the theory. It's not possible to have confidence in the passive investing model. The passive investing model is the idea that it's okay to stay with the same stock allocation when prices rise to extremely overvalued levels. That's passive investing. It's not possible to have confidence in that model because that model defies common sense. Now, there are people who claim to have confidence in it, that's for sure. There are people who are intensely dogmatic about the passive investing model. But that's bravado. That's not confidence. Confidence is a quiet, sure thing. Confidence goes deep, true confidence. And that you don't see. When you see bravado and when you see defensiveness and when you see anger, I've seen a lot of anger when the passive investing model has been questioned, a lot of defensiveness. When you see that sort of thing, you're not seeing confidence. You're seeing a weak model. So I very much agree with Rob Arnott. And the material on investing that I present at my website really is all being prepared for the coming era. I don't have any interest in advocating the passive investing model. I just completely reject it. And so there would be no point in me giving advice to people looking for information on how to pursue the passive investing model. So I'm living in that next era and preparing for it and building ideas and strategies that will make sense in the era in which the passive investing model is replaced by a model that I call rational investing. A model that says you must change your stock allocation when stock prices rise to absurdly overvalued levels. So the purpose of this podcast is to explore a little bit how are we going to get from where we are today, stuck with this passive investing model, which holds us back incredibly. So long as the passive investing model remains dominant, we cannot explore all of the wonderful strategies that the human mind is capable of coming up with if we only would free people's minds to think new ideas. And of course, we've seen some of this exploration at the various retire early and indexing boards over the past 6 years. And I use that feedback, what constructive input we've gotten from hundreds of different community members. I use those ideas in developing the strategies discussed at the website, but those discussions have never caught on to the extent they need to catch on for us really to learn all that we need to learn. I think we've provided good information. I think we've got a good start. But I don't think it's possible for us to get where we really want to go without input from a lot more people. We need much fuller, much more wide-ranging discussions with people of much more diverse viewpoints. The smartest person in the world isn't as smart as a community of people, in my assessment. I'm a big believer in community discussions. Obviously, I don't think that you can look at a community discussion and believe everything you read. There are going to be smart people and not so smart people in any community. But the interaction of different ideas produces a dynamic in which you learn things that you could never learn listening to any one person, no matter how high their IQ, no matter how much experience they possess. That's my viewpoint. So I don't think it's possible for us to develop the rational investing model fully until we reach a point where it can be discussed openly. And as of today, that's very difficult. I've tried to discuss it at many different places, had some measure of success at different places, and then also, you know, ran into a good bit of static at a number of places as well. And the problem is that the passive investing model and the rational investing model are coming from entirely different starting points. The passive investing model is really not even a model of ideas. For a long time, I used to think, you know, the thing to do to persuade the passive investing enthusiasts was just to engage in reasoned discussion with them. But that really can't be done, because reasoned discussion is all about exploring logic and making logical arguments. And I don't mean this as a dig, but I know it sounds like one, but that's not really my intent. Passive investing, there are no ideas to it. There is no logic to it. Passive investing is an emotion. It's an emotion. Where passive investing comes from is that get-rich-quick idea within us that says, when stock prices are going up, 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 that says, I want to be a part of that. I want to rationalize. My common sense tells me, no, that's dangerous. When prices are out of control, there's danger. That's not rational, and I don't want to participate. But the get-rich-quick scheme side of us, which we all have, says, no, I do want to participate. I want my share. And passive investing, the passive investing idea that you can invest in stocks when they're wildly overpriced and not pay a price for doing so, is an emotion. It's an emotion. And that doesn't mean, I certainly don't mean to say that people who believe in passive investing are not smart and are not logical in many, many other areas of their life, or even in other on other investing questions. I don't mean to say that at all. They are. But on that core question of whether you need to change your stock allocation when prices go sky high, on that question, anyone who advocates passive investing is behaving emotionally. Their behavior is rooted in emotion, not human reason, in Rob Bennett's assessment. So that causes a problem. When you try to have the passive investing model and the rational investing model discussed in the same place, you're going to get into trouble, because the advocates of passive investing are always going to feel insecure. They're always going to feel picked on. They're always going to feel at a disadvantage because they don't have logic on their side, and they don't have the historical record on their side. They don't have common sense on their side. And again, I don't say those things as digs. I know that it sounds like it. It sounds like I'm laughing at the passive investing advocates. I'm laughing at the idea. I think the idea needs to be laughed at. I think that's a very healthy development if we all get to a point where we all start to laugh at the idea of passive investing, because it is such an absurd idea. And if we all could laugh at ourselves for having once believed in it, what a breakthrough that would be. What a wonderful day that will be. When we can all look back and say, you know, it's like Nehru jackets, you know, oh, I used to want to wear a Nehru jacket. Well, I used to believe that it was okay to invest in stocks, you know, when they were at wildly overpriced prices. I thought that was just fine. I thought that was prudent. I thought that was responsible. If we could laugh at ourselves, we could put it behind us, and we could go forward. And the future is bright. The future is bright. There are alternatives to passive investing. Passive investing is not the only way to go. And when you start opening your mind to all the alternatives, what you find is that investing, stock investing, makes sense for the first time ever. And you can avoid, you find out that stocks are much less risky than we realize they are today. And you find that you can avoid the biggest price downfalls, or at least limit the hit you suffer from them. All sorts of wonderful things are on the other side. The expression I often use in posting is, I say, you know, when we put passive investing behind us, that's when the real fireworks, the good kind, begin. That's the day I look forward to. So the purpose of this podcast is to look at, you know, when are we going to get there? And of course, I can't give you a timetable, because we just don't know. But I'll point to some things that I have discovered over the course of the past 6 years of discussions that tell me that it's not just Rob Bennett saying passive investing doesn't add up. There are lots of people, you know, there are lots of people in this field a lot smarter than Rob Bennett, with a lot more experience than Rob Bennett, and a lot of people are aware that the passive investing model has seen better days, that this is a model headed for the trash bin of history. It has failed. There aren't too many who will say it in as blunt terms as I will. I like to think there's no one out there saying it in as blunt terms as I do today. I make a special effort to do that because one of the things I've come to believe is that the reason the passive investing model keeps hanging around for years or even decades after it has been discredited by the academic researchers is that so many people are reluctant to call a spade a spade. And so people will say, oh, maybe it's not perfect, or, oh, there are some studies showing that passive investing model is going to cause millions of busted retirements, but, oh, what can we do? Well, what we can do is tell people what we've learned. Tell people, hey, if you used one of these old school safe withdrawal rate studies, you got to make some changes to your plans, buddy. Do something, before the hammer hits. That's what we can do. So I believe in being kind. I believe in being diplomatic. I believe in being charitable. I certainly don't believe in rubbing people's noses in the dirt because they made a mistake. But I believe that the primary obligation of an investing advisor is to the people looking to him for advice, not to his fellow quote-unquote experts. And so we have to keep in mind that when we give investing advice, there are people out there using it to plan their retirements and to decide on their stock allocations. And so those people need to come first. And then, yes, we should be kind and charitable in our comments to our fellow experts, quote-unquote experts. I question whether any of us are experts today. People who believe in passive investing may be experts on many, many things, but if they get that wrong, they're getting a lot wrong. If they're saying passive investing works, they're getting a big part of it wrong. And the people who reject passive investing like me, we're not really experts either, because we can't become experts until we can get feedback from lots of other people. And it's very hard to get feedback today because so many people are pretending that passive investing makes sense long after it's been demonstrated that it does not. So what I want to do is just mention some of those demonstrations so that you know when you're debating in your own mind, do I want to go along with passive investing for the time being or not? Understand that it's not just Rob Bennett saying that this model is discredited and has failed and needs to be replaced. One of the best, I think the best story I've ever heard on the state of play on where passive investing stands today is one that was given by Rob Arnott. And I saw this written up just a few months ago, and then I wrote it up at my blog. Rob Arnott was giving a speech at one of these conferences, and there were investing academic researchers at this conference, about 200 of them in the room. And Rob Arnott said, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many people here have confidence in the efficient market theory? The efficient market theory is the intellectual underpinning, if you want to call it that, of the passive investing model. Nobody raised their hand. None of these 200 academic researchers were willing to let their fellow researchers know that they believed in passive investing. In other words, they were too smart. They were too smart to believe in such a thing, so they kept their hands down. And then Rob Arnott says, how many of you, when you go back to your office on Monday morning, will be putting together research rooted in the efficient market theory. Well, then almost everybody's hands went up. Well, that's the state of play today in the year 2008. There was a time when I think, like all ideas, there was a time when the efficient market theory slash passive investing was just sort of being introduced to the world, and there weren't that many people that agreed with it. And then over time, it became more popular, and more people did agree with it. And then there came a time when it was just wildly popular. It just everybody seemed to agree with it. And, you know, certainly for the past 10 years, but really starting probably 20 years ago, belief, confidence in the efficient market theory slash passive investing concept has been diminishing because the evidence is so strong that this model does not stand up to scrutiny. There's academic evidence. There's the kind of evidence I talk about, how people, the confidence that individual investors have in it, you know, not strong. An idea has a life cycle. It grows. It starts out small and it grows and gets strong and then it withers, it diminishes. And the efficient market theory slash passive investing concept is diminishing today. It's withering. And that's what we saw with that story. A lot of these researchers today, they don't really believe in it, but they have to use it. If you want to make a living in the investing advice field, professing belief in passive investing is your ticket to the party. It's hard to make a living without it. Because today, there's still a taboo on talking openly about how this idea has failed us. I'm trying to break that taboo. That's probably my primary message, that I would like all the people who have doubts to come forward and state it clearly and boldly and to make efforts to encourage people to express their doubts, not discourage them. I want to hear those doubts. I want everybody else to hear those doubts. That's what I really want, because I've heard enough. I want everybody else to hear those doubts. And if the passive investing model were a strong model, it could withstand that. That wouldn't be a problem. But the passive investing model today is so weak that the people who support it feel that it cannot be questioned. Questioning is the end. Questioning is the death of this model. And that tells me that the model deserves death. Once the advocates of it give up confidence in it, and if they had confidence, they would allow questioning. The fact that they do not, they are so opposed to questioning, shows that even they do not possess real confidence. Although that doesn't mean that they understand all the weaknesses, please. Just because they don't want to hear questioning doesn't mean that they are cynically misleading us on everything. No. What it means is that they are humans, they have emotions, they want to believe in this theory very, very much. They get something from it. It rewards them in some way. And they've got a lot staked on it. Some of them have spent their lives advocating passive investing. They've influenced thousands and thousands of investors. So they very much do not want to give up on it. That's entirely sincere. But at the same time, they've been in discussions and they've learned that the theory has all these holes in it. And so they've become highly agitated when it becomes questioned. And what I'm saying is those of us who understand how deep the flaws go need to encourage people to come forward with discussion of the flaws so that we get the ball rolling to getting this thing behind us more quickly. We don't want this dragged out forever. When you're taking a bandage off and you know it's going to hurt, the worst thing to do is to take it, you know, inch by inch and it pulls and it hurts and it goes on and on. You just want to rip the thing off. Well, once we learned that passive investing has failed, let's rip the bandage off, for heaven's sakes. Because once we get it behind us, all this wonderful stuff is on the other side. And we've had glimpses of that during the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate debate. We've had glimpses of how wonderful investing discussions can be once you get all this passive investing ugliness behind us. So I thought that was a wonderful comment. I think that really did show the state of play when 200 academics would not raise their hand to say that they believe in the theory, but almost all of them raised their hand when the question was, do you use the theory in your research? They use it, they just don't believe in it. But there have been other signs of a similar nature. Chapter 2 of William Bernstein's book, The Four Pillars of Investing. Read it for yourself. Chapter 2 of that book is a masterpiece. I can tell a funny story about it. In Chapter 2, William Bernstein, I don't think, has ever put forward a statement saying, I reject passive investing. He's put statements that implicitly are almost that strong, in my opinion, but he's never said those words. William Bernstein is an advocate of passive investing, but you'd have a hard time figuring that out by reading Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is what Rob Bennett believes about investing. I can sign on to just about everything in that chapter. There was a guy at one of the discussion boards I posted to. This was the No Fee board. It's no longer around. But there was a guy named Radiology Doctor. And he was a smart guy. And we were having a discussion about William Bernstein's views. And I was saying, William Bernstein, he says that long-term returns can be predicted to a large extent, and which of course is a rejection, implicitly a rejection of the passive investing model, because if you can predict long-term returns, obviously long-term returns are less at times of high valuations, so it doesn't make sense to stay at the same stock allocation. It doesn't make sense to invest passively. And Radiology Doctor said, at one point I had to post this long passage from Bernstein's book to explain to people what Bernstein's beliefs are. And Radiology Doctor said, well, Chapter 2 of that book is out of context with Bernstein's other writings. That's very funny, because in a way it's absolutely true. Chapter 2 is foreign to everything else Bernstein has written over the years. So I guess you could say it's out of context, but the idea of an entire chapter of a book being out of context is absurd. What the phrase out of context means is that you use a phrase and only the surrounding words make its meaning clear. So take it out of context, then people could misunderstand what you're saying. A phrase can be out of context, or a sentence can be out of context. Perhaps if you push it, a paragraph could be out of context. It's not possible for an entire chapter of a book to be out of context. Bernstein supplied his own context for a chapter of his book. But Bernstein is struggling, like a lot of us are struggling. He wants his ticket to the party. He's a well-respected investing advisor. He's too smart not to see some of the obvious flaws of the passive investing model, but he has a great reluctance in going too far down the road of spelling that all out. So he had this sort of funny way of doing it, of writing an entire chapter where he does spell it out, but then the other chapters of the book, it's as if Chapter 2 didn't exist. Money Magazine had an article. This was some years back. I think it might have been 2003, possibly 2004. What if everything you believe about stock investing is wrong? Well, the title says it all. That was a great article. Now, what I want to see is follow-up. If the editors could approve that article, what if everything you know about stock investing is wrong? What they were saying is all of this stuff that we've heard for 20, 30 years, and it's all, we're talking about passive investing. Stocks for the long run, buy and hold, stay the course, timing doesn't work, all of that. If all of that is wrong, don't just put, a 1,000-word article in one issue of Money Magazine. Do a 10-part series. Put it on the cover for 10 months in a row. Tell us if it's not wrong, tell us that. But if it is wrong, if all that we know about stock investing is wrong, you've got to do some follow-up. But what they do is they put out these little hints. They throw it out there. people like me, of course, you know, it's red meat. We jump on it. But people who believe in passive investing, they just sort of turn the page. And they wouldn't be able to turn the page if it was on the cover. But because it's, you know, one page in the middle there, they can just sort of flip over it and keep believing. And that's bad. That's dangerous. We don't want people to keep believing if it's wrong. What we need is a full exploration. Passive investing, right or wrong. Or if it's partly right, then okay, we'll keep the good parts and get rid of the bad parts. And there are some good parts. But as an overall, the core idea is wrong, in my opinion. Scott Burns had his, three times he's written columns about the safe withdrawal rate findings of the retire early community and the indexing discussion board communities. And another funny story, Scott wrote his first column on our findings in June of 2005. And, I was over at the Vanguard Diehards discussion board and talking about this. And Mel Lindauer, you know, he's the co-author of The Boglehead's Guide to Investing. He doesn't like people finding out that passive investing doesn't add up. So, Mel was very upset that I was telling people, you know, what Scott Burns says about safe withdrawal rates. So Mel says, he's trying to explain why would Scott Burns endorse Rob Bennett's findings on safe withdrawal rates. He says, he didn't say he agreed. Newspaper reporters, they write about serial killers. Doesn't mean they endorse what the serial killer did. All right. Scott Burns doesn't think I'm a serial killer, for heaven's sake. That's how pathetic the defense of passive investing has gotten today. That when a well-respected columnist points out the flaws, a defender of passive investing will say he's writing about it as if he were writing about a serial killer. It is true that Scott Burns did not say the words, "I endorse Rob's findings." That's true. He told me in an email he agreed with my safe withdrawal rate findings. And he's written on it in three columns. He wouldn't have written on it in three columns if he didn't see merit in it, at least. But it is a fact that Scott Burns has provided citations to the old school studies even after reporting on the findings of the new school studies. So that point Mel can legitimately make. You know, that's a legitimate point. But Scott was not writing about a serial killer, and he didn't think he was. John Bogle. John Bogle's the leading advocate of passive investing. But John Bogle, in almost every speech he gives, talks about reversion to the mean. And the reversion to the mean concept is an implicit rejection of the passive investing model. The reversion to the mean concept means that stock returns are predictable in the long term. And if stock returns are predictable in the long term, passive investing does not make sense. So Bogle is not nearly as strong an advocate of passive investing as many people make him out to be. Not even close. It is Bogle who taught me what I needed to know to see the holes in the passive investing model. So Bogle can be taken either way, depending on how you read him. There was a speech by Peter Bernstein, no relation to Bill Bernstein, some years back. I think of it as the point of inflection speech. And Peter Bernstein gave a speech where he talked about timing the market. And is there any message you have heard more frequently over the past 20 years than "you can't time the market, you can't time the market, you can't time the market"? Well, Peter Bernstein doesn't agree with that. Peter Bernstein, he's a well-regarded author. Against the Gods was his book. Very well-regarded. And he gave a speech And he said, the stock investing game is changing. We've reached a point of inflection where everything is changing. And we need to start looking into how to effectively time the market. Well, that's what's ahead. Now, he said that he received a lot of good feedback on that speech. He said he never has received so much feedback as he did on that speech. And I'm sure he must have received some negative feedback. But he received a lot of good feedback, and I've received a lot of good feedback. There are lots of people out there today who follow the passive investing model but have doubts about it. That's common. The problem that we've had on discussion boards is that abusive posters, the people who are dogmatic defenders of the passive investing model, are 50 times more intense than the ones who are open to honest discussion, honest and balanced discussion. That's really the problem. So if you get out, if you get past that, if you get past the really dogmatic, abusive people, a lot of people are open. So what we're going to see in days to come is, you know, as prices continue downward, and we don't know when that's going to happen, but it's hard to imagine that we are not someday going to return to reasonable prices, right? We always have in the past. It's hard to imagine we wouldn't this time. As we work our way down, there are going to be more and more people asking questions, and maybe some of those people, that vast majority that is open to hearing about the flaws of passive investing, will become a little stronger in standing up to the goons who try to block the discussions, and they will say, hey, we want to hear the other side of the story. And when that starts to happen, I think you're going to see more and more of these investing experts saying, spelling out more of the story. I sometimes get the feeling that some of these things I'm referring to here today are almost trial balloons. They what the experts try to do is they put the idea out and they wait and see how we react. And if we react positively to hearing that the passive investing model has failed, they will come back with more explanations and more responses to questions. They will take it to the next stage, and we will start to learn about more realistic approaches to investing. But if they get this, you know, if they get these sort of abusive reactions, you know, how dare you, you know, say what the historical data says about safe withdrawal rates, how dare you? Well, then they're going to pull back. And as I say, I advocate not pulling back. I advocate ripping the bandage off, because I have seen enough of the wonderful side of what investing discussions can be when we discuss investing in reasoned and rational and sensible and humane and kind and intelligent ways. And I've seen too much ugliness from the dogmatic passive investing dogmatist not to want to see us get over that threshold. I can't say when it's going to happen, but I can say that I very much look forward to the coming revolution in investing advice. Check out the site, passionsaving.com. Good luck with your investing strategies. You take care.